بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we've been able to study some of the verses of the Quran about the nature of human life and different levels of human life. For some people, the only thing which is known, which matters, is al-hayatu dunya, which is the lowest. But there is another type of life which we can achieve and we can obtain, compared to which this life is nothing. Compared to that, this life is like death. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the akhirah, he says, إِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The next life is the real life. Inshallah, when you go to heaven, you would see how everything is with life. Even a cup of water that you will drink, you see that water is alive. The fruit is alive. Everything is alive, has understanding, has love. Of course, that is the malakuti side of the things also in dunya, which we are not aware of. Otherwise, even in dunya, if you had that vision, we were able to see how everything has life, has understanding, how everything is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are not able to see. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَتِهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They only know the surface, the apparent side of life. And with respect to the life of the Akhirah, they are heedless. So it means that Akhirah is deeper layers of dunya. We think Akhirah is something totally disconnected. But Akhirah is nothing other than the deeper level, at malakuti side of the same life. Unfortunately, we are not able to see. Everything that we see has another presence in another realm parallel to this life. If we were able to see that, then we were able to see how they are full of life, full of understanding. You would see that if you are mu'min, how everything around you would be appreciating, how everything would be excited. Even the non-living beings that we call the non-living beings. You know the story of the pillar of Hanan in Masjid al-Nabi, before minbar was made for Rasulullah. Rasulullah used to lean, and there was a pillar. And he was putting his back on that pillar and speaking or sitting. So when minbar was made and Rasulullah didn't use that anymore, people heard a kind of cry, a kind of voice of deep sorrow. They didn't know what it is. They asked Rasulullah, and Rasulullah said, that is that pillar missing me and is showing deep sorrow for missing me. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either for us or through other people, opens some gates, some little windows to that world so that we can see what is happening there. Sometimes during your dreams or dreams of other people, maybe Allah opens a gate, but the reality is there. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم. If you had the knowledge of certainty, you would have seen the hell. ثم لترونها عين اليقين. So, what is important to remember is that life is not only this life that everyone, believer and non-believer, experience. Good and bad people experience. There is another life, and then that life is actually right now with us. Either is the life of light, piety, or a miserable life, a life of hell, which we have. We said one way of being in right direction and being in right attitude is to remember our death. Very much recommended in our hadith, very much emphasized by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So I already mentioned for you some hadith, and there are few more hadith that I have selected, and then inshallah we go to back to the Quran. One hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and as-Sadiq an abaihi and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Similar to what we had last night. Annahu qal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, akyasun nas, the most clever people. That was about akyasul mu'mineen. This is about people in general. In the whole world, the most clever people are من كان أشد ذكرا للموت, the one who remembers death in a stronger way. Sometimes for dhikr we use kathra. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. So this is about the quantity, kathra. Sometimes we use shiddah, intensity. This is about the quality. So here it's about the quality. Akyasun nas man kana ashadda dhikran lil maut, the one who has a stronger remembrance and attention with respect to the death. In another hadith, which is in a letter from Amirul Mu'mineen to Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr and the people of Egypt. You know that first Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr was appointed as governor for Egypt before Malik. وَأَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ الْمَوْتِ عِنْدَمَا تُنَازِعُكُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنفُسُكُمْ مِنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. When your nafs, which is not trained, which is still nafs ammare, commanding you to do bad things, commanding you just to enjoy, to have pleasure, puts you under pressure. Maybe you are a person who doesn't have means, or I don't know, has not been able to marry. Maybe, for example, you have other things in your life that you need and you don't have. Or sometimes you have, but your nafs ask more because nafs is not satisfied and content with what it has. So if your nafs is pressurizing you and is pushing you towards what she wants, then Amirul Mu'mineen says, you should remember death more often. أكثروا ذكر الموت. وَكَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ وَاعِذًا. This is sufficient as a preacher. So he's a good preacher, and it would suffice you. If you really listen to the death, that would be a good preacher for you. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ كَثِيرًا مَا يُوسِي أَصْحَابَهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remind his companions very often about death. So why we are not following the sunnah of Rasulullah? Why we rarely talk about death and think about this, and we think that, you know, it's frightening to think about this or to talk? No, actually it's making your life more enjoyable. So Rasulullah was often giving advice about death. فَيَقُولُ, he was telling his companions, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ الْمَوْتِ فَإِنَّهُ هَادِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ حَائِلٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Remembrance of death would be a barrier between you and shahawat, the lower desires, the appetites that your nafs has, and would not let you be indulged and involved in the pleasures which make you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of the hadiths, there is something very important that I mentioned yesterday, and I said, inshallah, I will talk about it later, is that a proper remembrance of death would make you actually more active. This is something that you should remember. If fear for God, if fear is for God, if fear is real, is right, is appropriate, it makes you more active. This is different from people who have some kind of phobia, some people who have some kind of, you know, mental or psychological problem. They are too much fearful. That's different. Fear from death, fear for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes you more energized, more active. Like Ahlul Bayt alayhi musa, Amirul Mu'mineen has that fear. إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. But was Amir al-Mu'mineen, because of that fear, sitting at home and just crying and doing nothing? I cannot do anything. I cannot, you know, have any impact on my life or life of other people. No. Remembrance of death and fear with respect to Akhirah should make you more active. Actually, the most active person. When there is a competition, who is the most active person? The one who is conscious of the deadline. If you know that you have 5 minutes and you all the time try to finish before the time is over, then you can win the game. You can win the competition. But if you forget, then you would relax. You think you have hours, but it's just 5 minutes. So then you will lose the game. So if you remember your deadline, if you remember death, you should become more active, should become more motivated to act. This is why we have in hadith that remembrance of death, يَحُثُّكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ, it will encourage you and actually push you towards action. So, mu'mineen who have this quality, when it comes to their life, even in dunya, they would be more successful than other people. It's not that we are encouraging people like some zuhad, like people who had some kind of ascetic life, not in the way that Islam says. Of course, zuhad is very good, but the way Islam says is that you don't forget dunya. You work hard in dunya, but you know why you work hard in dunya and what you want to achieve and where you are going to see the result. So a mu'min, if he is an engineer and he thinks about akhirah, He looks at his job as an engineer as an opportunity to gain for eternal life. Then how much energy he would put in his job compared to a person who is just working for a salary that he gets less in the end of the month. If you are a builder and you are making a house and you think of your akhirah, you would say, many people will come to this house. Many families will come to this house. Let me make it in the best way so that they will be having comfortable, convenient life here. If anything goes wrong because of my carelessness, even after I die, I am responsible. This makes you the best builder. If you are a doctor, when you look at your patient, not as someone who brings money, not like a prey, you look at your patient as a servant of Allah and you want to offer whatever you have, whether it is medical advice, whether it is love, whether it is a smile, whether it is dua, then it has different impact. So what we want to achieve is we want to achieve a very active, vibrant life in dunya, but with clear understanding that everything that we do here is showing the main results in the hereafter. Here is just a small part of it. For example, if you study and in the end of the year, they give you, for example, a certificate or they give you some prize. This is very little compared to what you are going to see through your study and education. A person who studies and then tens of years is going to benefit from his study. That little prize that they give you in the end of the year, it's nothing compared to it. So if someone thinks that I study just because I want to get that prize in the end of the year, that's nothing. What we do in dunya, which receives appreciation even in dunya, because mu'minin in dunya should have the best standards and everyone should be happy with the performance of mu'min. But this compared to Allah thanking you and praising you and saying that I am satisfied with you is nothing. So remembrance of this, يَحُثُّكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ وَيَرْدَعُكَ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْحِرْسِ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا. And it would stop you from having greediness for dunya. Now, I want to invite you to reflect on some verses of the Quran, especially about how we can benefit from the good example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Or other role models that we have. In Surat Ahzab, which is chapter 33, verse 21, this is the ayah that the beginning of it is many times recited, and maybe most of you are familiar. Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you, in the Messenger of God, there is a good example. You can follow the example of Rasulullah in every aspect of your life. His relation with Allah, his relation with himself, his relation with people, his relation even with everything around him. Ayatollah Mutahhari has a beautiful point. He says Rasulullah was so honorable and so much giving honor to everything that even he used to have a special name for anything that he was using. For example, Rasulullah's camel had a special name. He was not just saying camel. His dress, I don't know, anything that he was using, they had a special name. This is a sign of respect.
Like people, for example, if they have a pet that they love, they give a name. Rasulullah, for everything that he was doing, even for non-living beings, for the furniture of home, he had a special name. So this was the way he was honoring everyone and everything. So in the way he was treating himself, he was treating people, he was treating animals, he was treating even non-living beings, there is example for you. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. لَكُمْ means all of you. لَكُمْ, for all of you. All people who believe in Rasulullah, and even those who don't believe in Rasulullah, still they can use him as a moral model. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a condition. Although the example is available to everyone, but those who can actually benefit have to qualify themselves. So Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ بَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those who can actually follow this example and benefit from this example are the people who have three qualities. يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, they have active, strong belief and faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who doesn't think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actively, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't occupy important position in his life, he cannot follow the example of Rasulullah. A person who is not interested in his study, then you say, this great alim is your example. He has no interest in a study. How can he benefit from that great alim? A person who has no care about his health, then you see, this person, you know, is a champion of health. He has no interest. A person who has no interest in swimming, you say, this person is the best swimmer in the world, his example. How can he benefit? He has no interest. Those who want to follow the example of Rasulullah and benefit from the example of Rasulullah, first, they should have iman and hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. Second, وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. They should also have iman and remembrance of the hereafter. Because life of Rasulullah cannot be understood unless you know that Rasulullah was working for akhirah. Otherwise, many things that Rasulullah did, you may not understand why he did those things. You have to know that he was working for akhirah. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا and remembers Allah in abundance, as much as possible. So, if you want to follow the example of Rasulullah, you yourself have to be example for other people. This is the beauty of this ayah. Those who follow Rasulullah, they themselves have to be faithful and be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible and be working for their akhirah. This is why Allah says in the Quran that he has made Rasulullah a shaheed, a shahid, a witness for us, and has made us also witness for people. This is the way we have to be. Every Muslim, every mu'min should make himself or herself an example for other people. We have example number one, which is Rasulullah, then Ahlul Bayt. But then by following them, you become example for other people who have no access to them, or it's too complicated for them to understand them. you should facilitate this for them. Sometimes it's easier for a very young student to say, your example is second year students. The one who is in the first year is, your example is, look, those successful students who are in the second year. Then those who are the second year, we say, your example is those who are in the third year. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Rasulullah shaheed and witness and example for us, a standard for us, and each of us are expected to be example for other people. So my brothers and sisters, we have a historical responsibility. You can think, and I can think, I am here in this country, in this part of the world, just by chance and accident. And I am here just to enjoy my life, and then everything is finished. We can think that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wise plan has a mission for me in this land. Why we have come here? Maybe Allah has a mission for me. Maybe I have some responsibilities here. Maybe the people of this land have some opportunities that through us, those opportunities can be materialized. We should be light. We should be siraj. We should be misbah. We should be flag of guidance for people. If people here have problem in their families, it's unfortunately so severe that it seems that the whole concept of family is gradually disappearing. It's like, you know, becoming just two people being together for some practical reasons for some period of time, and as long as it suits them, they continue, and when they think they can be better off without being together, they say goodbye. Sometimes you hear not marrying, people not marrying. Sometimes you hear strange types of marriage, which we don't recognize as marriage. Sometimes you hear about the breakdown of the families. Not many positive things about family. Okay, what we can offer? What is our role as Muslim community here? How can we be example for people? By offering them Islamic model of family, not just in theory, not just, you know, publishing booklets. People will laugh at us if we talk about family life in Islam and they see the rate of divorce in a community is very high. We can be good example for people by offering them real examples of family in Islam. If they see husbands and wives are very united, they love each other, up to the last moment of their life, they keep very close to each other, they support each other. And alhamdulillah, we have many cases like this. But I'm just worried that we may lose this if we are not careful. If they see there is a strong unity between parents and children, you can be very successful in your study, in your business, whatever, but you are always respectful to your father. You always are respectful to your mother. You don't even raise your voice over them. You don't look at them with anger, let alone fighting them, arguing with them, boycotting them. If they see these things in us, then we can understand why we are here. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us from different parts of the world to this land. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is good example for you, but the condition is لمن كان يرجو الله وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ
وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا.
Similar to this is about Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, and the people who were with him. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Again, there is a good example for you in them, but the condition is to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember the hereafter, to know that you are going to die and you are going to go through all the situation, all the conditions and all the manazil and stations after death, starting from Barzakh and then all the stations of the Day of Judgment. So this is the significance of remembering death, that it comes right after faith in God. Not only in these verses that I have mentioned, in many, many verses. Al-Iman Billah wal-Yawm al-Akhir, in many verses come together. You cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly without remembering the death and the hereafter. Actually, the greatness of Allah in every quality can only be understood on the Day of Judgment. If you look at the Rahmah of Allah, for example, Rahmah of Allah has filled the whole world. Everything that exists is because of the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Rahmah of Allah, which is manifest on the Day of Judgment, is much, much greater than the Rahmah which has filled everything in this world. Knowledge of Allah, power of Allah, everything which can be understood and experienced in the hereafter compared to dunya are not comparable. So we have to be actively thinking about our death. And one of the things that we find in our hadith is actually this should be also one of the criteria for choosing your friends. So not only yourself should be thinking of death and remembering death, also try to befriend people who can help you in this process. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said to Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, وَمِنْ خَيْرِ حَظِّ الْمَرْءِ, one of the best things that you can enjoy in your life, one of the greatest achievements in our life is to have good friends. Finding good friends by itself is a skill. Amir al-Mu'minin is saying to his son, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, وَمِنْ خَيْرِ حَظِّ الْمَرْءِ قَرِينٌ صَالِحٌ, one of the best things that you can gain in dunya is to have a good friend, a righteous friend. If you want success, this is one of the shortcuts. If you have a polite, organized, trustworthy, honest friend, automatically you would resemble him. This is very easy. Sometimes, you know, if you don't have these people around you, then for every little step you have to struggle. But when you live with good people, automatically you become like them. You don't need to struggle. You will be inspired by them. Even without you knowing, day by day, you become like them. And of course, if, na'uzu billah, we have bad friends, even without noticing, day by day, we resemble them more. So Amir al-Mu'minin said to Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, and this is also what we, as spiritual children of Amir al-Mu'minin, should listen. وَمِنْ خَيْرِ حَظِّ الْمَارِ قَرِينٌ صَالِحٌ, to have a good friend, righteous friend. جَالِسْ أَهْلَ الْخَيْرِ تَكُنْ مِنْهُمْ, sit with the good people, have the company of good people, you become one of them. If you meet, sit, and make relationship, befriending good people, you become one of them. Bayan ahla shar. Try to cut off your relation with bad people. Don't say, I am careful. Don't say, for example, I am just taking notes from him. It start with taking notes, that start with, you know, going to have a coffee, then going outside, then going out, then traveling. Then you open your eyes and you have become like him or her. So, bayan ahla shar. Distance yourself. Why you want to waste your energy? Sometimes you are a person who is well grown up, is mature, is developed, is skillful. You want to change people who are bad into good. That's another issue. But our first priority is first to save ourselves. It's not that everyone is responsible for guiding people. First, you have to pay attention to yourself. Bayan ahla shar. وَمَنْ يَصُدُّكَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Distance yourself from bad people, from the people who stop you remembering Allah. وَذِكْرَ الْمَوْتِ. Again, you see, the remembrance of death is so important that even for choosing a friend, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, distance yourself from those friends or so-called friends that stop you remembering Allah and stop you remembering death. How do they stop you? بالأباطيل المزخرفة والأراجيف الملفقة. By false ideas and sayings. They fill your mind and heart with nonsense, useless things, but which look good. Muzakhraf, you know, in Quran we have Zukhruf. Muzakhraf is something which inside is bad, but it's coated with gold. So you think it's gold, but it's not gold. It's just on the surface a little gold. This is called Muzakhraf. In Farsi, we use this term if someone says something rubbish, you know, we say it's Muzakhraf. But in Arabic, it means something which looks nice, but inside is empty or is fake. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, by things which look interesting and attractive. And actually many people in dunya spend their life thinking about these muzakhraf things, these things that look nice, and there is no depth, there is no core, there is nothing inside. So you should separate yourself from them. Tabin minhum. Then if you stop your relation with these people, then inshallah you stop being like them. So if you befriend good people, you start being like them. And if you stop befriending bad people, inshallah then you stop being like them. So this is about the significance of friendship and about one of the conditions for those that are good friends. We have also a hadith about Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. You know, in our hadith, we have many things from Jesus or about Jesus. And there is also a book, Jesus in Shiite Narrations. The disciples of Jesus, Hawariyun, ask him, Ya Nabi Allah, O the Prophet of God, Man Nujalis, whom we should choose as friends? Isa alayhi salam gave three conditions, which are very important. So if you want to be successful, especially my young loved ones, I cannot express enough how much we love our youths, our teenagers, our young people. I don't think anyone can give you better advice than Amir al-Mu'mineen, than Isa alayhi salam. Isa says, choose these people. Man yudhakkirukumullah ru'yatu. Choose someone that when you look at him or her, reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see face of mu'min or mu'mina, reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you see people and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember shaitan. Meet people that they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُرَقِّبُكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. When you look at what they do and their life, their actions, you would be more encouraged to work for your akhirah. Because you see, they are very much concerned about akhirah. They are always doing good things, helping out, everything. So you will be encouraged to work for akhirah. One of my teachers, rahmatullah alayh, he said, when I was young, I used to go for tabligh to a place, and that place was mostly for rich people. So the people that I was giving them, you know, mo'izah and lecturing, they were very rich and they had large houses and lots of money. So he said, I felt when I go there, then I am not feeling happy, and you know, I'm not very much enjoying my life as a talibah. And then he said, I realized that I am being affected. Instead of me affecting them, I am being affected. Maybe those people themselves are not attached to dunya, but a person who doesn't have money, sometime when he is always meeting rich people, feels that, oh, why I don't have a car like them, a house like them, money like them. So if you are always with people who are involved in business and they are rich, of course, I am not saying everyone is like this. Some people who are very rich and very successful in business, they are very much conscious of Allah and Akhirah. I'm saying the people who don't think about any other thing. So when you are always hearing from them about money and about stock and about property price going up and down and, you know, I don't know, these things, you will forget Akhirah. Be with the people that yuraqibukum fil akhirati amalu. Of course, I have to say sometimes also poor people are more concerned about dunya than rich people. This is not something that is about rich people or poor people. It depends on people. What is important is mentality of people, their attitude to life. Be with someone that gives you a piece of advice that can open lots of doors for you. Not someone that can only think about dunya. And the third condition that Isa alayhi salam said. So first was what? Yudhakkirukumullah ru'yatuh. Second, yuraqibukum fil akhirati amaluh. Third, yazidu fi ilmikum mantiquh. When he speaks, he adds to your knowledge. He has information, he has experiences, he has things that you can learn from, you can benefit. Many things in my life I have learned from my friends or from other talabah. Many, many things. It's not always you learn from your teachers or always you learn in the class. Many things you can learn from friends. If we are fortunate to have good friends, it's a very good way of quickly improving yourself and learning many things. So Amirul Mu'mineen and Isa alayhi salam both say that one of the conditions of a good friend is to be someone who is thinking about Akhirah and make you think about Akhirah. Inshallah, tomorrow I am going to speak about a beautiful sermon of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, in which Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam talks about the people that Allah has helped them, Allah has blessed them. And it's very beautiful sermon of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And it starts with this. I just say this to remain in your mind for tomorrow, inshallah. Amirul Mu'mineen says there are people that Allah has helped them against themselves. What does it mean? Allah has helped them against themselves. One of the du'as that is very beautiful and sometimes I try to recite in Qunut is Ilahi a'inni ala nafsi bima tu'inu bihi as-salihin ala anfusihim. Oh Allah, help me against myself, my soul, which is not yet purified, in the way that you help righteous people against their own souls, which are not purified. What is the significance of this? Why, instead of looking for an enemy outside, we should first look for an enemy inside? And how we can win that internal battle? For us, it's very easy always to put the blame on other people. If we find people around that we can put blame on them, we blame them. Do you know why I was not successful? Because my parents didn't send me to good school. My parents didn't look after me. We didn't have good teachers. Or we put blame on our husband or wife, or on our neighbors, on our managers. And if we don't find anyone else, we put the blame on Shaitan. We put all the blame on Shaitan. But it's not that Shaitan is responsible for everything that we do. You know, I was actually this month of Ramadan thinking that our hadith says that in the months of Ramadan, Shayateen are chained up. Yes, they are chained up. But why still some crimes take place, some sins take place in the months of Ramadan? So Imam Khomeini had this idea, very beautiful idea. He used to say that because some people are programmed by Shaitan before Ramadan. Okay? So they are programmed. So in the months of Ramadan, Shaitan has nothing to do with them, but they are already programmed. So they do shaitani and satanic works. This is a good explanation. But this Ramadan, I also came to an idea. I said, maybe this shows that actually most of the problem is not from Shaitan, it's from us. We always try to blame Shaitan, but our hadith says, "A'da aduvik nafsuka allati bayna jambayk." Your greatest enemy is your own soul, nafs, which is not purified. And if that soul doesn't betray you, Shaitan cannot do anything. مَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. Shaitan on the Day of Judgment says, I didn't have any control over you. It's not that Allah has given remote control of you to me so that I, you know, put you in this way or that way. You listen to me. إِنَّمَا دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I just called you, invited you. So, inshallah, tomorrow we will talk about this sermon of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam and see what can we do in this internal battle, which is unfortunately between us and ourselves. And then we would see what is our real self and what is our false and pseudo self. What is our divine self and what is our satanic self, inshallah. Tonight we are going to remember one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is very much respected. He was not only a companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was actually a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A companion of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And that is Habib ibn Madahir. A man that is said he was about 80 years old. A life of iman, a life of taqwa, very respected man. one of the ulama, you must have heard his name, Sheikh Ja'far al-Shushtari, he has a personal story. He says, I used to have very weak memory. And whenever I wanted to give minbar, I had to carry books with myself. And I was only reading from books. I used to carry Tafsir Safi by Faiz Kashani, and also a book of Rozat al-Shuhada to recite Matam. So he says, one night I had a dream of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and I complained about my memory. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam referred to Habib ibn Mazahir and said, give to him some, you know, there's a paste they make from flour and oil. Habib, give him some of this. And Sheikh Ja'far al-Shushtari says, after I had this from Habib's hand, then I changed. I was able to remember everything. And more importantly, people were very much moved by my way of recitation of Matam of Hussein. And you know, his way of, you know, narrating Matam and reflections that he has, and you know, the book, you know, Khasa'is Husseiniya, all these things, he was very special. He was able to understand many things that other people didn't notice. So Habib ibn Mazahir is a person who is very special, very high in Iman, very much loved by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They say that Habib, few days before Ashura, told his friend Muslim ibn Awsaja that we should go and join Hussein. We should go to Karbala because our master Hussein is in need of help. Muslim ibn Awsaja accepted. So Habib said to his servant, to his ghulam, that take our horses outside Kufa, because if Ibn Ziyad and his people see that we are riding horse, they may understand that we want to join Hussein. So said to his ghulam, take our horses outside Kufa. We will walk, and when we go out, then we will take our horses and ride to Hussein. The servant of Habib, this is the power of relation. This is the power of companionship. The servant of Habib is by himself a small Habib. He started crying. Oh Habib, do you want to join Hussein and leave me here far from Hussein? So he cried, and Habib said, okay, we go together. So three of them left Kufa to join Imam Hussein in Karbala. When they were very close to the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there was a worry in Lady Zainab salamullah alayha, because Lady was seeing that the number of the army of Ibn Ziyad and Umar Sa'd is increasing. People in hundreds and thousands were joining them. And sometimes, you know, I wonder, you know, why they had to bring so many people. There was no need, you know, because there were only some 70 men. Why they had to bring thousands of people? So Lady Zainab and definitely other ladies, children, when they were seeing that the number of enemies were increasing, this was not a good sign for them. So Lady Zainab went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, why their number is increasing, but our number is not increasing? Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, there are people who are going to join us. So it was after this conversation that the Habib and Muslim ibn Awsajah and the servant of Habib arrived. So although there were just three people, but this was a great hope. It was a kind of bishara for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to see, especially someone like Habib, who was very well respected, a companion of Rasulullah and Amirul Mu'mineen. So when Lady Zainab heard about Habib and Muslim and the servant of Habib coming, she said to Imam Hussein, "Say my salam to Habib." This is how much Ahlul Bayt are grateful and thankful. If you know the critical moments, and in those critical moments you say labbaik, they will not forget you. So when Habib arrived and Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that my sister Zainab has sent you salam, some books say that Habib took some soil and put on his head and face and said, "Who am I to receive salam from my lady, Lady Zainab salamullah alayha?" In the night of Ashura, Habib took all the companions of Imam Hussein next to the tent of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha and said, "As long as we are alive, we are not going to let anyone attack Hussein. You can be 100% sure that when we are alive, we are going to protect Hussein alayhi salam." And this was their loyalty. And then on the day of Ashura, just after Azan was said, someone said to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, someone from the opposite army, "Oh Hussein, your salat is not accepted." Habib was angry. The salat of the son of the Prophet is not going to be accepted? And you people of Yazid and Ibn Ziyad, enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your salat is accepted? So at that time he attacked them. And then when he was stricken and he was going to die, Imam Hussein alayhi salam went towards the head of Habib ibn Madahir and put the head of Habib on his lap and said, "Oh Habib, you were an alim, you were a faqih, you were a knowledgeable person, you were a person who used to recite Quran from the beginning to the end, you were a companion of Rasulullah." So this was the way Imam Hussein alayhi salam treated Habib and every member of the army of Hussein when they were going to become martyr. But the narrator says, "I saw the martyrdom of Hussein himself when his cheek became on the soil and the sand of Karbala, and there was no one to go towards Hussein. And he said, 'Elahi razan biqadaik tasliman l'amrik, la ma'buda siwak, ya ghiyath al-mustaghithin, ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin.'"